لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بعد،
We will finish what is left from the book of servitude by Imam Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. We were talking about the type of fana. The author indicated that the term fana has three different type of meanings. The first is the fana from the will, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that no one is worthy of worship except Allah, and no one to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one to be loved except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said this is the type of the ubudiyah, the servitude that is that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest of those levels. That's the best type of servitude. He would worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would love Allah more than anything. And this is the meaning that the Sheikh Abi Yazid meant. And Abu Yazid, he died in the year 262 after Hijrah. And Sheikh Abu Yazid said he had a statement. He said that statement has to be explained by this definition of fana. And he said this is the meaning that what Sheikh Abi Yazid meant. He said that I want nothing but what he wants, which means that what Allah wants. And that is a good interpretation of the of it, is that he wanted that his heart to be clean, and that his heart will want nothing that except what is wanted, something that's wanted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that anything that is desired by the beloved, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since this is the meaning that has the a good meaning in it, then that and the perfection of the servant is that he will not love, will not be pleased except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for him, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked to happen for him. And he will not love anything except what Allah loves, and like the angels and the prophets and the pious. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except him who bring to Allah a clean heart, which means that a heart that is clean of everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has Allah in there, and that would worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is occupied with nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the clean, sound heart. So that's a heart that is clean for this type, whether it is called fana or not, then it is the first meaning of Islam and the last meaning of it. So whether they call it fana or anything else, then that is what Islam is to be defined. So this is a true meaning, and it defines Islam basically, so that the person worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the second type is the one that witnesses things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, like the person who will see the sun but cannot see the stars. The person would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are creations that he would not see. And this type would happen to many of the people, those salikin. And this happened to many of the salikin. This occurred to many of the salikin, which is translated as travelers, or they are on their way. But it comes basically from also from just the one who is following a route or a procedure or a pathway. And as the person who would be traveling, he will go by different places, different levels of areas, and that he would rest at them, rest areas, etc. So this type would happen to many of the people that are salikin. These are the ones that their heart are incomplete attraction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His worship and His love. And their hearts have weakness to see anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as it was said in the Quran, and the heart of the mother of Musa became void. She came very near to disclose his case. Had we not strengthened her heart. So and this would happen to many of this category of people, where their heart would be overwhelmed and completely controlled by one thing. I mean, whether it's the love or the fear or the hope. So whether he's in one of those extremes, I mean, love, fear, or hope, the heart is going to be only focusing on that only, and not seeing anything other than that. And if that person, his heart is completely being controlled by any of these aspects, then that heart, the person of that heart will be in complete absence, in complete absence, and complete inconsciousness about the existence. His existence, or even his witnessing, so, and his witnessing of other things. So this, if it being overwhelmed by the love of Allah, it will be completely into it and will not feel anything other than that, and will not even sense anything around it. So this level, as I said, in many of the Sufis books, They rate it as the highest level. So, and here the author make it as the one of the lower level, as it will be explained later. And when that effect or influence becomes strong, then the loving one would become too weak and become so unstable. And could not even differentiate things, and will not see anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will not feel or recognize anything around it. Like example of a man who would throw himself into the sea, and his followers will all throw themselves after him into the sea. So he said, And when he said the followers came after him, said, I threw myself in the water. Why did you follow me? And he said, well, I became in too much attachment to you. And when I saw you in the water, I thought that I was in the water. So I came after you. And they thought that when their love reached that level, it become one body or one thing and one unit. And some of them, they said that this level of love is that is going to unite the loved and the lover. So it cannot, and people cannot say that about the Creator, because nobody can love the Creator to the point where they become part of the Creator and attached to the Creator. So it is impossible to have the Creator and the created to be united as one thing, except we cannot do that unless they become transformed into a new thing that is a product of the two. So we cannot make one thing out of two and still have those two identities different. And that third product that is going to come out is going to be neither one of the two. That's just like when we mix milk with water. And we get something that is not water and it's not milk. It's a blend of the two. But the goal and the loved one can be the same, and the hated one. So the goal and the one that's been loved, we can combine them. For example, the loving one can love the one love what the loved one loves and hate what the loved one hates. So they will have the same common sense of loving and hating in that case. They love the same thing and they hate the same thing, and they will support what the loved one support, and they will become enemy of the one that the loved one is an enemy of. And this type of fana, in its whole, it has some deficiency or defect. It's incomplete. It has a deficiency. It has a defect. And some of the greatest awliya of like Abu Bakr and Umar and some of the sabiqeen may fall into this type of fana, including the immigrant Muhajirin and Ansar. None of them has fallen into this type of fana. And let alone the ones that even higher than them on the status, like the prophets and the messengers, none of them would fall into this type of fana. Like all the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, such as Abu Bakr and Umar, and those did not fall into this type of fana. Did not fall into this type of fana. But the first type that we discussed earlier, yes, it did apply to them. But the second type, they never fell into it, and none of the prophets. But still, this type is a permissible type. It's not an all bad type. Because some of the tabi'in, the generations after the companions, some of them fell into this type of category. And including into this any type of symptoms like losing the mind to differentiate between things. And included into this type is that sometimes people may lose their mind or go into coma or cannot differentiate between things, or the person will fall into coma, literally. They cannot differentiate that his mind will stop thinking because his mind will become overwhelmed and overloaded by this love that they have. But the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they had a much better and perfect understanding and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have a much higher level of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in their heart, but they never got to this point where their minds will go away, or they fall into coma, or anything like that. So and the Prophet ﷺ, I mean, the best example in this regard, and his heart was full of the love of Allah and the fear of Allah, but never fell into coma or lost his mind because of that. And they maintained their minds and their conscience. But this category here, because their love to Allah has become excessive, as they claim, and therefore they get to a point where they lose their sense and they fall into coma and go into some changes. So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were even had more perfect faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of Allah and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they never fell into coma or they never lost their conscience because of that. But some of this actually started in the Tabi'in, the generation after the companions. Some of the symptoms started to show on them. Among them, some that would fall into coma when they hear the Quran. So they would basically fall into coma, and some of them would even die as they heard the verses of the Quran. Like, for example, like Abi Juhayr al-Darir was. Salih al-Muqri recited some verses to him, and he fell down when the verses were recited. And Zurarah ibn Abu Awfa, the judge of the Basra, the Basra, and he was one of the scholars of the Tabi'in. He was leading the prayer in the Fajr prayer. And when the Imam was reciting the verse, when إِذَا نُقْرَ إِذَا نَقُرْ, then he fell down as on coma when he and died. He fell down and died. And the person who narrated the story, he said he was one of those who picked him up after he died. So these are some of the good pious believers, and what happened to them because of their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet and the companions, they had much better level of understanding and better love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and better and more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they never fell into comas. If the person is sick or ill, that is different than a person who's sound and healthy and then fall down just by hearing some of those verses. That's different. The brothers mentioning that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, became sick when he read few verses. And becoming sick, I mean, that's not like somebody who will fall into coma just suddenly because he heard the verses. But you know, some of the companions, I mean, when they recite the Quran, you could feel that coming out heavy from their hearts. Yes. But none of these people will fall dead or anything happen during the time of the companions. Also, from among the leaders or the sheikhs of the Sufia, of the Sufis, are the ones that would also come across the fana, that would make them could not differentiate or distinguish at that time. And they go into coma, and when they wake up, they will start to debate and argue about what happened to them. And they go into coma, and then they will say things, and then when they wake up, as it was told about Abi Yazid and Abi Hassan and Nuri and Abi Bakr al-Shibli and others like them. Abi Yazid al-Bistani died in the year 2061, and Abi Hassan al-Nuri and Abi Bakr al-Shibli died the year 334. So they were in the third century after Hijrah. And their likes. Unlike Abu Sulaiman al-Dardani and Ma'ruf al-Karkhi and Fudayl ibn Iyad, Salman al-Darani died in Damascus the year 215 after Hijrah, and Ma'ruf al-Karkhi in 200 after Hijrah he died, and Fidal ibn Ayyad died in 177, and Junaid ibn Muhammad who died in 298, and Ibn Taymiyyah, here he praised those three. He said their way was better than their peers or the people of their time. So these three, or those names that he mentioned here, he said those people have better understanding and better type of none of them will fall into any coma or say things that they did not mean, they did not know what they were talking about. So like they don't lose their mind, my enemies. They used to always be conscious about what's happening to them and what is going on, and they don't lose their mind or memory at any point. So none of them would fall into this type of Also, anyone who is the follower of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have the right understanding of Allah and His Book will also be fine, and they will not fall into this type of issues or problems.
ويكون ما يشهدونه من ذلك مؤيدا ومنحدا بما في قلوبهم من اخلاص الدين وتدليل التوحيد وذكرى الله وحده لا شريك له.
So the believers who have the right understanding, there is nothing in their heart but loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time they know that this universe has other creation on it, and they are aware of what's going on around them, and they are not in complete disconnect with what is around them. and they have enough knowledge that makes them that their heart is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also they feel and sense and see the creations around them. So they are not into any of these extremes as far as the feeling or loving or anything. And this is the truth that the Quran has called to it. And the people of the truth of Iman have always called people to it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the leader of all of those. And he has the most perfect understanding of this. And he has seen many of these signs around him, and Allah has revealed to him, and he has loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but none of these symptoms has shown on him. The Prophet has seen many of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many things have unusual signs that he saw. Yet the Prophet after the night journey, he has seen things, wonders after wonders. But then when he woke up in the morning, I mean, he was a normal, regular person. He did not lose his mind, or he did not speak anything that he didn't know. And that is unlike what used to happen to Musa alayhi salam when he collapsed down. May Allah peace and blessing be upon all of them. And this is not to say anything against the Prophet of Allah Musa, but this is only we're saying that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his status and level is higher than Musa alayhi salam in that regard. So because Musa, when he asked Allah to see Allah, and Allah said, look at the mountain, you will see me. When he looked at the mountain, basically Musa collapsed down. And when we say Musa was shocked into and fell into coma, it's not the collapse and the coma that happened that will take the minds completely out. So Musa because what happened at the mountain was so immense, it was so the sound and it was a big collapse that happened onto the mountain, and it was a physical thing that happened to Musa that would make him basically fall down. But it's not that he fell down because his heart was shifted on too much in one direction and he lost consciousness because of that. No. But the third type, in which the people call it fana, the third type. The first two that we have talked about are the ones that are acceptable. The first of them is the one that is best, and that's where all the good servant of Allah should be. And the second is the one that has some issues, but is still acceptable and permissible. And this last one, and this is the one that applies to the hypocrites and the mushrikeen. It is the one. And that when they bear witness that there is no anything of existence except Allah. May Allah Almighty is beyond what they describe. Because they look at anything around them, whether it's human creations, rocks, idols, they say this is Allah. And they said that the creator existence is the existence of the creation. So they do not make any differentiation between the creator and the creation. Uh, And that there is like those who will fall into al-hulul, and hulul basically means existence, which means that Allah existed in His creation, in the picture or form of His creation. So that Allah transformed Himself into this creation, that's what they say. And some of them, even like some of the misconceptions of the Shia Batiniya and so many other sects and groups out there. And they said that this existence of hulul can be in all creations of Allah. They said Allah does have existence, but that existence is reflected on His creation. And therefore they said there is no differentiation between the creator and the creation. And they look at the human being as a creator. And any of the creation is the creator, that's what they say. When a person with a sound understanding say that I do not see anything but Allah, they mean by that is that I don't. Some of those sheikhs who have a better understanding among them, when they say, and they mean, we can say that yeah, they could mean something that good, because when they say I see none but Allah, that means they see no Lord except Allah, and no Creator except Allah, and no one that design and can create except Allah. So and now somebody can say, okay, but this person, by at the same time he sees the moon and the sun and the creations, everything, and he said, I don't see anything but Allah. But that could be explained that, you know, he sees all these creations, and that will be like a way for him to realize Allah the Creator. And they said that what he would mean by that is basically, I see no Lord but Allah, and no Creator but Allah, and no one who designed and established except Allah. And I would ask support from none but Allah. And Shaykh al-Islam said some people would come with a statement that could carry more than one meaning. Like somebody that will come and say that I see none but Allah, and we'll try to understand what the different meaning that people will have about it. Because this statement could carry more than one meaning. When somebody says I see none but Allah, it could mean a good thing, it could mean a bad thing. But if we hear it, we will try to take the good meaning and understanding as the good meaning is what is meant by it. Because the eye can see things that what the heart may love. And if the person, if the person would say, he said, I mean, some of these statements said by those people when they say their heart see none but Allah, that means their heart is not attached to any of the creation. It is only directed to Allah and only ask Allah and none of the creation. And when see the creations around him, like when he see a human being walking by him, that doesn't mean anything to him. because his heart is attached to Allah and doesn't see the creation. So it's not. And their heart is with Allah, and they do not see anything around them. Their eye could see them, but they don't feel them, because their heart is basically with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the pious sheikhs would mention things that would make things absolute for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the servant will not be looking left or right to anything except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will not look up to anything except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not fear anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will not seek or rely or anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that type of person would see with the truth and will feel with the truth and speak with the truth. But this person would not do anything except what Allah likes and what Allah dislikes, and do it accordingly, and will not go to anything except what Allah likes. And he, from what around him, he will love what Allah loves, and he will hate what Allah hates, and he will become an enemy of what that Allah is identified as an enemy, and will seek refuge in Allah. So he fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he deal with the creation, he would deal with them in a way that looks like he's afraid of them, but no, he's not afraid of them, but he's afraid of Allah. That's why he deal with them in a specific way. When he will become kind to one of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he become kind to them because he wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in the Quran, says that we feed you, we don't want any reward from you, we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sound heart, the heart that is hanif, the heart that is sound and good. And that is the heart that will lead the person to know and realize the prophets and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the truth that they came with. So again, this statement that was said on the last category could have more than one meaning. Some people will take it in a different way, wrong way, unacceptable way. But if those people have some righteous people among them, they can explain it in a way that's very acceptable, like the one that we just described. And as the brother said, this shows how fair and justice the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah was, and he had no bias in his opinion. But the other type in this last category, okay. So sometimes when people say some of those statements that do not really do have more than one meaning, I don't know which way to take the meaning of it. There may be some indication in there to tell you what meaning out of the many meanings that they are after. And we call this qarina. So, but if there is no qarina to show us what they mean by saying these statements, we should interpret it in the way that is good, and not look at the evil meaning of it. But if we see somebody that do not even do their duty, I mean do not pray and do not fast or do not pay charity or zakah, and yet he tell you that I don't see anything but Allah, that is questionable. That probably means the bad meaning of it. And the third type, this type, third type is is the type of the fana, if you the one that is for Pharaoh and his people. When Pharaoh, he said that he is Lord and he is the creator. And thus, their tawheed or their oneness is that they see none but Allah, which means that they see the creation as Allah too. So, and they say if you say, a creator is something and the creation is something else, then you are a mushrik. And to them is that the creation and the creator, they exist in one thing. So, and because of that, some of them would worship the cross, and some of them would worship the animal, and some of them would worship a cow. So, because they see that there is no distinction, and there shouldn't be a distinction between the creator and the creation. And that's basically what its atheist is, and they don't believe that there is a creator that is different than the creation. And the sun and the moons and stars and everything, and they say that everything is Allah Himself. For example, like the Qaramita are the followers of a man called Hamdan al-Qurmuti. Those are a sect that is descended from Shia, the Shia, the Ismaili Shia. They used to have an estate in the area of Bahrain. At one time, they attacked the pilgrims in Mecca during the pilgrimage time, and they removed the black stone from its position. And they killed many pilgrims, and they took the black stone with them to Bahrain. At that time, Bahrain was considered as the area of Hajar. And that was their estate. So they removed the black stone and took it with them. And they even broke the Hajar, also the black stone, into pieces. And the black stone that we have today is the one that the Muslims rescued from them. So they took the black stone from 317 to 339. That's for about 22 years, and the Muslims were able to rescue some of it and install it back where it is today. And when they describe prayer or salah, it is not the salah or prayer that we do. They do it, they mean something different. Everything, they have a different explanation for it and a different meaning for it, of it. Like, I mean, prayers and zakah or charity or hajj, pilgrimage, they have their own meaning for them. And the brother asked about the Shia Ismailiyah. And said yes, some of them still are around in parts of Saudi Arabia and part of Najran in Saudi Arabia, and some of them are in India. And those are still, they worship the Hakim by Amrillah Fatimi, and they believe that Allah has descended into him. So the Qaramita, that they used to believe that they know the distinction between the creator and the creation. So they see the creator and the creation are the same thing. But the type that include the followers of the Prophet, it is a good fana, the one that the person of it is the one that prays Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among his awliya and muttaqin, pious. And those pious sheikhs and among them, when they say that what I see is Allah from the creation, it means that the Lord of the heaven and the earth. So when a person will see the creation and say this is Allah. And all the sheikh that people follow in the deen agreed on what the Salaf and the Imams of the Salaf has agreed on, and that there is none of the creation of Allah, is Allah does not reflect himself into those creations. And they make a distinction between the creator and the creator. And they talked about what will affect the hearts in form of disease and doubtful things. And some of them would witness the existence of the creation. So the sheikhs with good understanding, even among those Sufis, when he describe a creation as Allah, it is a disease in their heart. And even though they know that Allah is not the creation, but Allah is the creator of this creation. But for example, like a person who would see the sun, like the one who will see the sun light and say this is the sun, but he did not really see the sun itself, but just saw the rays of the sun, and he said this is the sun. And they may talk about the farq and jama. They will talk about the farq and jama, and these are some of the terms that the Sufis use and to define the levels. Just like when we talked about the fana, it as a term is being used by different Sufis, but the question is that what do they mean it when they say fana, because some of the fana could mean good things and some could mean bad things. If they mean the good meaning of fana, then we agree with them. But if they mean the evil or bad meanings of the fana, then we do not agree with them. Also, when it comes to jam' and farq, if they're talking about it in a way that is truth, then we agree with them on it. But if they're talking about it to describe something that's evil, then no, we don't agree with them. So when we talk about farq and jam, the term used by the Sufis, and when they say the farq, that means that they mean there is a difference between the creator and the creations, where the human being would be so busy with the creations and making that split between himself and the creator. That's what farq means in their mind. And then Then after that, they will come to the level of jam' when his heart will go to Allah. And that would they would mean by it that it will be basically the heart will be for Allah and then disregarding anything other than Allah. And some of them combine the two terms together and they say Farkul Jam, that after his heart was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would come back, revert back to the creation and become too attached to them. But when he come back and he see those creations as a creation of Allah, so he will have a better look at them in the second time. So this second type of farq is a good farq, when the person will come and see the creation as a creation of Allah, and he will realize Allah's power by looking at the creation. So this would be a good type. So they talk about this farq and jam' as terms. But again, each one of them has more than one meaning, as we said. And some of their sheikhs with a better understanding, they defined it in an acceptable way, acceptable manner, that would be acceptable by everyone. The first farq is that when the person would be too attached to the creation and love them too much to the point that they will distract him from Allah. But when he will be raised to the level of jama, then his heart will be with Allah only and never look at anything by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then and as he is at that level, when he will shift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart will not be able to see the creation and could not make a balance between looking at Allah, the Creator, and the creation. And then he will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will be disregarding all the creation. After that, it will come the second farq. After the person will be with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disregard the creation completely, then it will come the second farq. And this second farq, that the person would look at the creation as a creation of Allah, and that they were designed and created by Allah, and it looks at their abundance and existence as the oneness of Allah, a sign of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those too many of these creations are all created by Allah. And that Allah, glory be to Him, is the one who is His Lord of all the things that are made and created around. And that at that level his heart will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking refuge and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love and hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will see a difference between the creation and the Creator in this case and make that very distinction between the two. And we'll look at the diversity of the creation as the existence and the power of Allah who created them. And this is the right witnessing. And that's the right witnessing, and the heart will be a sound heart at that point that will realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will do things according to Allah's command and obedience. And that is the actual application of shahadat la ilaha illallah. And the heart would reject anything that's nonsense, and it will affirm the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that at that point the heart will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will realize the creation around it, and will combine the good understanding of both, and to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also he will be aware of the creations around him, and knowing that Allah is the creator of them and Allah is the only one, and therefore he will be loving more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking support from Allah, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pledging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will love for the sake of Allah ta'ala and will hate for the sake of Allah ta'ala, and will rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will seek support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all other things that are good for that would a servant would do in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pledge he has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is in itself is a pledge that Allah is the Lord and that everything around is being done and designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that would be the oneness of lordship, lordship. And the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oneness of lordship, that Allah is the only Lord, the creator, the designer of everything, that Allah created them, Allah is the one that gives them the sustenance and everything. And the oneness of uluhiyyah is that we worship Allah alone. And that is explained by the fact that the best remembrance is La ilaha illallah, has been narrated by Tirmizi that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and when you say hadith marfu, that means it directly come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the best of the remembrance is to say La ilaha illallah, and the best supplication is to say praise be to Allah. And this hadith is reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah. And in Al-Muwatta and other books, Talha ibn Ubaydillah, Abdullah ibn Kathir said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best what I said is myself and the Prophet before me is to say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Him alone and no associate with him. And anyone that would think that this is the remembrance of the general and the remembrance of the special group is the single name. The Prophet said the best remembrance is La ilaha illallah subhanallah. So that's the way of the Prophet ﷺ and all the messengers before him. That's the best and the most perfect way to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these statements have glorification to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and but some of the people, like the Sufis, they would leave aside this remembrance in the books and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and call it, this is the general, for the general public. But then they go, they say, we are after the special ones. And the special ones to them is to say like Allah, Allah. Some of them even do not even say Allah. They just say who. And so if you ask them why you say Allah, Allah. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that. And they said, Allah said in the Quran, say Allah, and then let them be in busy with their nonsense. But this is actually when it says, say Allah, it came as an answer to a question. Because it says, who revealed the book? And then say, tell them that it's Allah. So, and in this case, it says, "Hey Allah," because it's not a full statement because it came for an answer. Like if I say, "Who's in there?" and it says Zayd, if I say just the word Zayd is not informative. So because it says that who revealed the book that Moses came with as a guidance for people and as a light, and then Allah said, say Allah. That means Allah is the one who revealed the book that Musa came with. So Allah in this case is Muqtada, as in the Arabic language, it's a nominal verb, a nominal sentence. Just like somebody said, who's his neighbor? And he says Zayd. And remembrance that were used by the prophets are clear in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all known and clear. And then they come to this verse, and the verse is simply a quote. I mean, it's a question and answer. And they say, okay, we'll just take the answer and say Allah, Allah alone, because that's what Allah says in the Quran. They do not look at the sentence before it in the Quran to basically get the full idea of why it said, say Allah. It said, say Allah as a response to an answer, an exclamation, to an answer to a question. But the single word or the single name that they say is explicit or implicit. It's not even with a full word, or not with a sentence that is informative and does not have anything that link iman to it or even disbelief to it. It's not a command, and it's not a prohibition. And it does not mention anyone. There must be a full sentence, something that is understandable. You cannot just say a word and that's it, and you think that you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And cannot judge or get a meaning from just one word. I mean, it has to be a full sentence or a series of sentences that is followed by it. And none among the Salaf, of this Ummah, or not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has legislated this or even okayed this. And the known remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we even know their reward from the Sunnah and the Quran. And the Prophet said that if one of you will say subhanallah 100 times and each one of them is going to be multiplied 10 times. And the Prophet said when he was in the garden of Isra, he saw Ibrahim. And Ibrahim said to him, give my salam to your ummah, O Muhammad, and tell them that the paradise has been prepared. And the ticket to it, or the entrance to it, is subhanallah walhamdulillah. So there are many of the authentic supplications that of great benefit, and also like the benefit of la ilaha illallah. So all of these sentences have great, great rewards on them. But when you say Allah alone, if you say it a million times, what does it mean to you? No hadith to support it and no verse in the Quran to say do it, and you just say Allah and you say that you're remembering Allah or praising Allah. Why don't you follow the one that is already there and established, and the benefit of it is even laid out for everyone to see and benefit from it? Why don't you follow that? And you follow something that it does not have reference. None of the Salaf has done this, and the Prophet ﷺ never commanded or recommended this. And so like the word Allah, or when the people say Huwa, it's nothing just imagination. But it's not like when you say Subhanallah, glory, glory to be Allah, or say Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. At least you will have a meaning in your mind and your heart as you say them. So that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has blessed us with so many bounties, etc., and we praise Him for it. So all of these are established, and remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was referenced there. But by just saying a single name, because when say a single name, you cannot even say anything about its meaning or negation or affirmation meaning of it. And maybe the person who said that Allah, or who say he mean specific meanings of Allah. But the same talking, and to him that, you know, when he say Allah, it will bring some meaning in his heart. But all the established remembrance of Allah, they have meanings. And the Sharia did not legislate any remembrance of Allah except the one with benefit to people. And some of the people who do those ambiguous type of remembrance of Allah, they will fall into the trap of ilhad and disbelief, and they will fall into the ittihad issue also, like those who saw who. They will get to a point where they become ilhad, when they negate the existence of Allah, or the ittihad, when they say that everything around them is Allah. As we said it before, and as it's been reported from told about some shaykh, he said that I'm afraid that I will die between the negation and affirmation. So, and they said to him, why you say, don't say La ilaha illallah? And he said, we said to them, why don't you say La ilaha illallah? I said, no God except Allah. And he said, I'm afraid that I will die between the negation of La and before I say Illa. And then I will die in between the two. So I say La ilaha, and then I die there. So that I know. And this is something that we cannot follow, because the Prophet ﷺ himself said a dying person, remind him to say La ilaha illallah. And this is a dying person. So The Prophet ﷺ is the one what we should follow in this case. Because, and we cannot follow what they say about this negation affirmation thing, because this is not right and not true. Because even if the person is dying and then he said La, before he finished illa Allah, and he died, Allah knows what his intention was, and his intention is going to be counted for him and not what he uttered and what he said in that case. Because everything is judged by the intention of the person. So if the person he intended to say La ilaha illallah but couldn't finish it, then Allah knows what he wants to say. And it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ told us to remind the dying person to say La ilaha illallah. And also he said that the one whose last statement to utter is La ilaha illallah will enter the paradise. And in this case, the person who's accompanying the dying person should keep monitoring him, should keep an eye on him, and just remind him to say La ilaha illallah, and don't press him too much, or tell him to say it, because you don't know the condition that he's going through. And just remind him and to say La ilaha illallah, or say it to him, so he can follow you and say it after you. But don't insist on the person that he must say. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who said his last thing to utter is La ilaha illallah, he will enter paradise. And if there is any restriction on this, the Prophet ﷺ would not have advised us to tell the dying person to say it. And he could have limited himself to tell them just to say Allah, and that's it. And not say La ilaha illallah. But the Prophet ﷺ said, tell the dying person to say La ilaha illallah. So, if what these Sufis were right, then in that case, the Prophet ﷺ would have said that, just tell him that to say Allah, or say who, and that's it. And remembrance of Allah by just calling a single pronoun or a single name is very distant from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it is so close to the innovation, and it's so close to the traps of the shaitan. Because the one who will say who or any pronoun like that, that pronoun may come back to the heart is something else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the person say he, and he, which is huwa in Arabic, he, what does it mean? And the author of the book of the Nusus, Al-Fusus, called that book, he called it the book of Al-Hu, which means that he, which is the pronoun in English, he. And some of them claim that nobody knows the meaning of it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that the meaning of it, that only Allah would know what it means. And one says, and when they took the word that none know its meaning except Allah, and they fragmented this into the pronoun of it. And that is basically alteration of the meaning of the Quran. And all the sound Muslims, the righteous Muslims, they knew that this is nonsense, that what people use one implicit single word or pronoun to claim that they are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of the and Ibn Taymiyyah said that even until I said to one of them who said these things, and he advised him that this is not the way to say Allah. And if you are right about what they are saying, then Allah would have said in the Quran, He would say ta'wil huwa as a separate pronoun than to attach it to it and say ta'wilahu. And also many times some of the sheikhs would debate that and say that Allah is that Allah commanded him to say his name as a single word Allah, and that's a confusion, wrong statement, because none of the scholars of the knowledge would approve that, because again that is was an answer that came in the Quran when it say Allah, because if they say who revealed the book that Musa came up with, and the answer came as Allah. That means Allah is the one who revealed the book that Musa came with as a response to the question, just like the answer to the person that said Allah did not reveal anything. So Allah said, who revealed the book that Moses came with? And the answer came to be Allah, as Allah is the one who revealed the book. But it's never meant to be as a stand-alone word in there with no meaning but the name of Allah. Then Allah said, say Allah, which means Allah is the one who revealed it. Then let those who disbelieve be in their nonsense. And what explained from what we said above, when what is being reported by Sibawayh and other of the linguistic and grammar scholars, they said you cannot say a speech that is understandable unless it is a full sentence and when a statement is being said or a piece of information is being passed, it is circulated, it has to be in the structure of the language here, it has to be set in a specific way where you have to have minimum number of articles and information in there. Whether it's nominal sentence or verbal sentence. And Allah Almighty would not command anybody to mention his name as a single name, and it has not been legislated for the Muslims to call Allah's name as a single word or a pronoun, and any indefinite name does not affirm or does not show the faith or iman, and that is something that all the Muslims agreed upon, that you cannot just call one word and say that you are worshipping Allah or remembering Allah by it. And the indefinite name cannot be an indication of iman, and you cannot use it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you cannot even use it in communication with or conversing with people either. Even in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, there are There are more than one word, than one single word. I mean, when we get into the salah, we say Allahu Akbar, it's two words and it has a meaning. And when you go to raise from the ruku', we say Sami Allahu liman hamida, it's a sentence, it has a meaning. We cannot just say one word and go from one position to the other. And if saying a single word by itself is the perfect way of remembering Allah, we would have been commanded to do it. And there is none in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that they did it. It's always a full sentence. It's always a full sentence that has been said. I mean, even at the end of the Salah, you say, As-salamu alaykum, As-salamu alaykum. Or for example, if a person sneezes, we say, he said Alhamdulillah. But it is not said that we say Allah, Allah after we sneeze or anything. It has to be a separate sentence. The equivalent of using a single name is like some of the Arabs came by and the Azan was called when somebody said Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and he said, what is he saying? Like a person says, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, with Rasulullah instead of Rasulullah. So in this case, it gives a different meaning. You have to say Rasulu and not Rasula. So when you say Rasula, it's an incomplete sentence if you say Rasulullah. But it has to be Rasulullah to be informative. And in the Quran also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I remember Allah and also praise Allah, your Lord, the High, and also said, he succeeded the one who has done tazkiyah, and also said, Sabbih, glorify the name of your Lord. And none of this is a single word, it's all full commands, it's full sentence that has full meaning. And the Quran, some of it explain the other, or part of it. And in the Sunan, when the verse of Sabbih Bismi Rabbika Al-Azim has revealed, the Prophet ﷺ said, use it in your ruku'. And when it says Sabbih Bismi Rabbika Al-A'la, he said, do it in your prostration. So we say Subhan Rabbi Al-A'la when we prostrate. So, when Sabbih Bismi Rabbika Al-Azim was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ said, make it on your ruku', when you bow in the ruku'. And when said Sabbih Bismi Rabbika Al-A'la, he said, make it on your prostration. And the Prophet ﷺ started to say that on his prostration. He said, Subhan Rabbi Al-A'la. He never said just Allah, Allah, in there. and it is in the Sahih that narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, when he make ruku', he says Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, and when he make prostration, he says Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. And that's what it means by he said, make it on your prostration and on your. And when you say the glory be to Allah, the High, or that is part of the complete meaning of a sentence. As the Prophet ﷺ said, and the Prophet ﷺ said, four things are from the Quran, which are Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet ﷺ also said two words that are so light on the tongue, but they are so heavy on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Subhanallah wa bihamdi. And all of those are full sentences. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever would say 100 times every day, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, al-mulku lahu, alhamdulillah, Allah would have protected him from the shaitan on that day until the evening come, and nobody will do better than him except the one that will do more than what he did. And also, anyone that will say every day Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, his sins would be wiped away, even if they are as high as the scum of the sea. And in Muwatta and other books, the Prophet said, the best thing that I said and the prophets before me is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And in Sunan ibn Majah and others, the Prophet said, the best remembrance of Allah is to say La ilaha illallah, and the best supplication is Alhamdulillah. And things like hadith like this one are so many which are said about the remembrance of Allah and the supplications. And all the supplications and remembrance of Allah are full sentences. And they were never one word or single terms. And in many hadiths they even show the reward for saying them and using them as full sentences. But it was never that the practice of the Prophet ﷺ to say Allah as a single word, or to say who as a single word in any condition or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the Quran, Allah said, and do not eat anything that Allah's name has not been mentioned on it. And also Allah said that, and eat from what they have captured for you and remember Allah in it. And remember Allah's name on it. And they said, do not eat from what Allah's name has been not been mentioned upon it. And the meaning of that is to say Bismillah. We don't say Allah by saying mention Allah's name on it. We say Bismillah. And Bismillah is a complete sentence. And it is a verbal sentence. That means, with the name of Allah, I start, as the Prophet ﷺ said, name Allah and eat with your hand, your right hand. Also, when the person, when they say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when they recite, that is by with the name of Allah, he recite. Which means that I start with the name of Allah, or I do this with the name of Allah. When they say Bismillah before recitation, that means everything I do in there is in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you say it at the beginning, but it's good. And that's all the action you do afterward is done in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it said, read in the name of your Lord, the one who created. And also, it said, in the name of Allah, it's sailing and it's landing. When you say Bismillah majreha, in the name of Allah, it's sailing and it's landing. So that means all it is movement is by in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this in the Quran, I mean there are places where this is being the Quran says Bismillah, it means I read in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said, the one who has slaughtered before, they should slaughter in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't say, I am slaughtering in the name of Allah, but you say Bismillah and then you slaughter. So which means that you say Bismillah, that means Bismillah, I am slaughtering in the name of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said to Umar ibn Abi Salama, his stepson, Umar ibn Salama, that's his stepson, and said to him, he said, oh boy, name Allah and eat with your right hand and eat from what's close to you. And here it is not, it doesn't mean that he would do it as remembrance of Allah, as Bismillah. Also, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, if you sent your learned dog to hunt for you and said Bismillah, then you eat from it. So when the learned dog is sent to get the prey, and say Bismillah. And also, and the Prophet ﷺ said, when a man will enter his house, he will say Bismillah, and when that happens, then the shaitan will exit and will not stay in it. And also, what has been legislated for the Muslims in their prayers and adhan and their pilgrimage and eat. When they say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And also the praying person who says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And also the person who responds, go to Hajj, say Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. All these remembrance of Allah that are done in the obligation worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we use full sentences and full statements. We never say Allah, Allah. So anything that was legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a full speech sentence and never a single word that doesn't mean anything. And this is what is known in the lugha, they say a word, and as the Prophet ﷺ said, two words that are so light on the tongue, so heavy on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to say Subhanallah al-Azim. When the Arabs say a word, a kalima, sometimes they make a full sentence. When the Arabs say the kalima, they mean a full sentence. As the Prophet ﷺ here said, that two words that are so light on the tongue, so heavy on the side of Allah. Subhanallah wa hamdi is one, Subhanallah al-Azim is the other one. So each one of them is a sentence. Yet, So in this case we understand the meaning of the kalima or the word as it is, and it is meant by the Arabs. It was a full sentence. And also, as he said, the best word that was said is the word that was said by Labib. Is that Labib, and who said anything other than Allah is vanishing. And also when Allah said that it is so big word that comes out of their mouth, and which is the Jews and the Christians, and when they say things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say the full sentence or say complete speech Allah described as a kalima. And also said that the kalima of your Lord has completed with truth and justice in it. And here also,
قالوا أمثال ذلك مما استعمل في لفظ الكلمة من الكتاب والسنة إلى الوفاء
and many other examples where the word kalima or word is used, but it meant a full sentence. As they used to use the term letter for a name, and they said this is a strange letter, which means a strange name or a strange word. So they used to say a kalima, a word for a sentence, and they used to say a letter for a... And Siboy has classified the speech into name, verb, and letter, or preposition. And when you say harf, it could mean alphabets, but also and the other meaning of huruf is the prepositions, for example. And each one of these is called a letter, whether it's a single name, single verb, or single letter. And when it comes to the alphabet, they will call them by their names. When it comes to the alphabet, each one of the alphabet has its own name. We say ha and mim and ha for each one of them. As the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recited the Quran and did the Arab on it, he will get every letter he read, he does, he will get 10 times. And I would not say alif, lam, mim is one harf, but I say alif is harf, and lam is harf, and mim is harf. And when the Prophet ﷺ said, when I say harf, I don't mean alif, lam, mim. When alif, lam, mim, but the Prophet ﷺ called it as a harf, which means a full word there. And Khalil ibn Ahmad asked his student to tell the sound of the letter Zay, and they said Zayt, and he said no, that's a name, but Zay is Za. And harf, and that is used in by the Arabs, is basically means a word that came for a meaning, to be used for a meaning, and not just a single letter. Just like the prepositions. And sometimes, but for the alphabet, sometimes they just call them by their sound or by their names. And when people got accustomed to naming the alphabet by call them harf, people thought that this is from the Arabic language, but it's not. Like many times people will try to do tafsir or explain the Quran or the Hadith based on the current language that people are accustomed to. For example, when I say kalima, which means just one word, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it would mean a whole sentence. A whole sentence. And this is part of the confusion that people will have. And sometimes some people would confuse the term kalima or between a sentence and a single word. So they try to balance between the two meanings, the meanings that back then at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and today. For example, like when you say ayn, it could mean a spy, and it could be the eye of the person. It has so many meanings. And sometimes people use the letter ha, and they try to use it for some meanings. And many of the poetry of the Arab. And they said the word kalima could mean either sentence or a single word. Even this is not, it's not right, it's not true. Because when you say kalima, according to the Arabs, it means sentence, it's not, it doesn't mean just one word. And the point here is that when it comes to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be by a full sentence. A sentence that is of understanding, a sentence that will get the benefit and the reward for it, a sentence that will reflect the love of Allah and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we will limit ourselves to use a single term, a single word, then that is going to be very confusing and it does not have any basis in the language and it has no reference to it from the Quran nor from the Sunnah. But it is just one type, one kind or one way of or a means towards the bid'ah or the innovation and the astray type of act. Five minutes left, so to finish the book, inshallah. When we finish the book. And and the epitome of the deen is two types, is that we worship Allah alone and we don't worship anyone other than Him. We worship Allah alone and we don't worship anyone other than Him. So we worship Allah alone and we worship Him the way He wants. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever is hoping for Allah and His reward should worship Allah alone and do not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the affirmation of the two shahada, that's La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, that's no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad is His messenger. And he showed us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from things that are going to confuse us in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it says, for the one who would face himself toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and doing it in the right way, then he will have his reward from his Lord. As we are commanded to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will not rely on anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will not have hope except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek support only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that our worshipping is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are commanded to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and obey him and take him as our role model. Whatever is halal and lawful for us is what he tells us is halal, and what's haram and unlawful for us is what he tells us is unlawful. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever the messenger gave you, take it, and whatever he prohibited you from, give it up. And Allah made the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and said that Allah is sufficient from us and His Prophet. Allah is Allah is sufficient for us, which means we will rely on Allah, and Allah will suffice us from His bounties. But when it comes to reliance, it's reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and say, Hasbunallah. as they said, the people that came to them and said that the people are gathering against you, they fear them, and they said Allah is sufficient for us. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Also, Allah said, the Prophet, Allah is sufficient to you, and Allah is sufficient to you and to those who follow you. So Allah is sufficient for you and the Prophet of Allah and to those who follow you. So Allah is sufficient for you. Also, as Allah said, isn't Allah enough for His servant? Also said, Allah will give us from His bounties and His messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah came first because Allah is the one that gives. And Allah has the bounties over us and over the Prophet. And said to Allah, we are hoping to see. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you are done, stand up and towards your Lord worship. And the Prophet said to Ibn Abbas, if you ask, then ask Allah, and if you seek support, seek it from Allah. And the Quran indicates this in more than one place, that the worship is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fear is to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness to be for Allah, the love for Allah and His messenger. And as Allah said for Noah, is that worship Allah and obey me. So the obedience is to Allah and His messenger. And also Allah said, whoever obey Allah and His messenger and fear Allah and have taqwa for Allah, then these are the successful. And the messengers have been commanded to worship Allah alone and to rely on Allah alone and to be obedient to Allah. And then the obedience should be to them, to the prophets as well. So, and Satan has misled the Christians and their lives. So they took their monks and their leaders as lords, and they became so attached to them. Despite that, they do wrong things, and they follow the pathways other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said for them. So they were commanded to worship Allah, they didn't. They were commanded to obey the messengers, they didn't. So they met, they associated the prophets with Allah. But Allah guided the sincere believers towards Him, those are the people of the right path, those who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and followed Him. And those are the ones that are not among those whom Allah is displeased with. They were sincere to Allah in their deen, and they have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, and they leaned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loved Him, and they ask Him, and they rely all their matters to Him, and they loved the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they respected them, and they obeyed them. And those are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them as the ones that who followed the messengers. And this is the end of the message. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us steadfast and to perfect our deeds. And when we die, is to make us die believing in Him. And for all of our Muslims brothers, and praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and prayers and peace and prayer be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal of the prophets. And this will be the end of the His servitude, this is the those who are from the university will get their certificates. They have to go to the sheikh and get their certificate of graduation for this course.